You have to realize that comedy is a science. That's why you have a lot of people that they say like Eddie Murphy is a comedic genius. It's because he knows the science of it. He knows the science of the setup and the punchline. Damn, we gotta start Miles Rider. Getting this now on the show, we're doing some psychic readings. I like it. What day we're gonna start?
Oh man, we gotta tap in. We both gotta combine our energy on that one.
My prediction is September. September of this year.
I like it.
By mid-September, we'll be in production. That's my guess. What do you think?
You heard it here.
And by the way, like, it's not like you know where we are, and then most people would say, oh, it sounds pretty aggressive.
Yeah, no, I think we can get it. Because what's crazy is the same way that we did this, I think we nailed it with the director. Like, he is passionate. Like, he's been texting me with ideas. Like, he's so
you can share here if you want. You know, we haven't really shared with the world. We did share. I mean, we announced Miles Rider, but yeah. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about it, since it was your kind of original idea?
Yeah.
And what it kind of is, and then we can maybe talk a little bit about what the character has become, because it's cool.
Yeah. So the idea of Miles Rider came about like just making a short film. I wanted to do something action, you know, and I saw that the action space was missing the African American type of actor. So I was like, how can I fill that gap? So I got my buddy Steve Brown, who stunt coordinated Avatar.
Avatar 2, the last one.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. All of them. He did the Wolverine. Yep. He's done...
Mangled.
Yeah. He's doing Superman now.
Yeah.
He's doing all these things. And we lived in the same apartment together. So he moves off to do all these things. I'm like, yo, why don't we... he's on break. So I was like, yo, you want to help me do this short film? He's like, yeah, I'd love to. Helps me, does it. Brings all the Avatar guys.
Yeah.
They're doing it. You've seen the stunts. They're crazy.
That's how we got this movie. Yeah. That's it.
So it came out great. And I'm not a writer. You know what I mean? I learned how to do things just to get by because that's what I needed to do from all the failure. So I knew that I needed to write this and direct it and produce it and do all that. Got it done, and it came out great. And then we showed it to you. We got a writer to do a polish, to make a
great
feature.
Writer, yeah. He did a great job.
Greg Russo killed it. He did Mortal Kombat. So he killed the script. Then we got director attached to really hone in who the character is, and we fucking nailed it.
Tell us about who the character is, because I love this character. Like, I feel like we've crafted him together a bit, and like, I watched him grow.
Yeah,
and now he's such a cool character.
Yeah, so the character, he's gone through a lot of turmoil through the past. He lost his family, he lost his dad, all of that stuff. But think of like Will Smith in Men in Black, like that cool guy. He's unique. He's charismatic. He's your boy Batch. he kicks ass, take names, and it's just I'm just so happy to actually put a character like this to life, because we haven't had anybody like these guys in film. Like, what's going on? Nobody's doing it. So this is gonna be great, because people are gonna it's gonna refresh the brand of action comedy.
You know what I love about it? Because, like, I think Men in Black, which is one of my favorite films, I wouldn't call it an action comedy. Like right. If you say someone Men in Black, you're like, it's an kind of action sci-fi film.
Action sci-fi, yeah.
But it is a comedy, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people who don't like action sci-fi or who don't like sci-fi still love Men in Black, right? Mm-hmm. Because the sci-fi part is a little bit of a, you know, it helps the backdrop. But
right.
What I love about Men in Black is the character. Right, so Will Smith's character in that, mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what I love about this character is like, he's almost superhuman.
Yeah,
almost. I think we originally were modeling him after John Wick a bit, right? Mm-hmm. So he's as superhuman as John Wick is, right?
Yeah.
But he's got that kind of like humor and that like fun ego of Will Smith in Men in Black.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
I think, we haven't had that guy.
Right.
Like,
and, yeah.
And that's an, like, yeah. But even because I think he's a little more John Wick than Will Smith was in Men in Black, mm-hmm. right? Will Smith was still badass, but this is like, you know, almost superhuman, right?
Yeah.
And I just love that we've really, you and the team have honed and created this character that's, I think, something nobody's ever seen. And he's going to be funny, but he's going to be badass. And, you know,
I think
it's going to be a big franchise.
Yeah. Oh, we know. We can
see the future.
We remember
the future. I came across this Instagram account, actually, and I texted this girl because she writes these almost like prophecies. Mm-hmm. And then she says her name is Sarah. I forgot her account name. She's like, my name is Sarah, and I remember the future.
No way.
Yeah. And she says, like, in this date, this is going to happen. And she literally ends every video where she literally says, my name is blah, 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 and I remember the future. And, like, I actually hit her up and texted her. I was like, I'd love to just talk to you more just to understand, like, because her stuff is very on point. Like,
really?
You know, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But,
damn.
Yeah, no, she has a big following, too. I mean, she did then ask me for, like, told me that she consults people for $100,000 a month. So I did go, yeah, well, maybe there's something off here. But other than that part.
Yeah, yeah. Damn, $100,000 a month.
Yeah.
She's making a good living.
Well, yeah, future's pretty cheap.
Damn.
More expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to keep you too long here, and you've been so great with your time. There's two things I want to jump into before we kind of wrap up. And one is, even though it's a step in your path is comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not your end goal, but you are so synonymous with comedy. Mm. I'm sure a lot of people look up to you in the comedy world who want to be comedians, right?
Yeah.
So because you've hit that success somewhat, I don't want to say by mistake, because it was a purposeful part. It was purposeful in your journey, but not your end goal, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, what would you say to them as advice? So, like, you know, people who are just trying to make in comedy, and, you know, since that's something that obviously is a very hard field to make it in, and, mm-hmm. you know, you gotta have talent, you gotta be noticed, you gotta, you know, there's just so much at it. Like, what's the biggest advice you'd give someone?
The biggest advice is to study it. You have to realize that comedy is a science. That's why you have a lot of people that they say, like, Eddie Murphy is a comedic genius. It's because he knows the science of it. He knows the science of the setup and the punchline. There's certain words that people gravitate to just laugh towards. There's certain facial expressions you can do to make people laugh. It's like a baby. You know, you do a certain face in front of a baby, they start to laugh. It's like you figured out that science to make the baby laugh. Now you have to figure out the science to make a toddler laugh, to make a teenager laugh, to make a grown adult laugh, to make an old person laugh. It's like you figure out what that is. And a lot of it is based off of either their background, what they went through, you know, the struggle. So that's why you'll see a lot of people who went through struggle who can make a lot more people laugh, because the majority of people deal with struggle. So you can relate to those people. So a lot of my comedy came from the struggle, because I was struggling so much throughout my life that I'm able to relate to those people who struggled as well. You know, so it all comes from knowing who your audience is. So, like, if you didn't come from struggle, you came from, you know, the upper or the middle or whatever, you know how to make those people laugh. There's people for every type of situation, every walk of life. So stay true to who you are. Don't try and change and be somebody else that you're not. Stay true to who you are, and there's always an audience for your type of people.
Good advice. I mean, I don't know much about comedy, but, like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't really thought about that way, like, pick your lane.
Yeah, because think about it. You could be a comedian. You could write comedic things for helicopters. You know everything about helicopters that would relate to every single pilot. Right.
Pilots would find it funny.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a really, that's a really, really good, like, interesting, because you also then, I guess, when you get better at that, you start moving into other people's lanes and saying, okay, now I'm going to try that other stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because then you do helicopter pilots. Then you can do airline pilots. Then, you know, you could do F1 drivers.
The last piece, which I try to always ask, you know, everyone is, so, you know, a lot of people watching right now, they're down, they're, you know, kind of just looking for anything, you know, what do you say to them?
looking for anything to
just grab to their low point in life. Something bad's happened to them. They're lost their job. They lost a family member. They're just, you know, grabbing on to hope.
Yeah. It's got to be either spiritual, whether it's, you know, your spirituality, your religion, your family. Grab on to those things that will always be there for you. You know, look within yourself as well. You know, look to find what's really important to you. Like, what's really important? Like, it's not the fancy car. It's not the jewelry. It's not this. It's like, what really does make you happy? You know, it could be a favorite food item. You know, maybe it's like, you like, I don't know, let's just say an acai bowl from this restaurant or this store that's like 10 miles away. Like, take a day and go take that journey and go get that and look how long it took you to get that and taste it and like enjoy it. But, you know, take that time to like find what really makes you happy and go after it.
That's great advice. Take that small, first, just look into the things that matter most and the people that matter most and yourself that matters most, right? And then If you need to take a small step, pick something small.
Yeah.
Just like you said, as small as an acai bowl that you love, just take the drive and enjoy it, right? And realize what's important in life, because you don't take it with you and time's short, you know? Well, I want to say thank you, my man, for being here. I'm excited for our journey together. Yeah. And I remember the future, so we have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And you know Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, I do now.
I know. You could tell your mom, I do know Will Smith.
I know.
In the future. She could go back and tell her that in the past.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining Failure. And, you know, just remember, you know, we're here for a short period of time on this world. And we're here to really make a difference for ourselves, not for anybody else, for ourselves. And it is better to be the man in the arena, to be marred in dust and tears and blood and sweat, and to come short time and time again and maybe fail, maybe succeed, than to never know a victory or defeat and be a cold, timid soul in the corner. It's really easy to be a critic. Really easy to be a critic. Mm-hmm. But as Churchill said, it's not the critic who counts. Mm. It's people like this man here who see what they want, see the future, see the important things, never give up, and they aren't swayed by the critic. It makes them stronger. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a Failure. And we'll see you soon.